You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right. Yeah.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once? I am one of those melodramatic fools, neurotic to the bone, no doubt about it. Sometimes I give myself the creeps. Sometimes my mind plays tricks on me.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. You know, the other night, my 12-year-old, I was walking past his room, and this song was just cranked in his room.
Oh, good.
And then I'm like, yeah. And then, you know, some of the lyrics are like, you know. So it's like, should I say
probably
something?
Probably hear most of those lyrics.
Like this one?
From Dad.
Yeah. But then I think, well, you know, I know what Lloyd listened to when he was that age. So, you know, maybe that's okay. Maybe maybe turn this down, Lloyd, now.
It's still good.
It's, oh, man.
It holds
up. It's
such
a great song. That's such a great song.
It takes me right back to my sophomore year. Hey, oh. I don't want to brag, but I do want to tell you a little bit about my weekend. Really,
yes,
quick.
Please do. I know we were jam-packed, but I know you probably had yourself a hell of a time.
All right, so when you go to Vegas, where do you go? We always talk about this.
When I go to Vegas?
Yeah, where's the place to go?
Like in terms of gambling? Or
You went to
the Rhino, huh?
Oh, man.
Well, you were going, and I'm like, oh, wow.
South Point.
Oh, okay.
What I was.
Okay.
I was not with Kevin Graham.
Okay.
Here's the deal.
Graham loves the Rhino.
No, he certainly does.
He's like, I'll never.
Norm! So, went to South Point and entered into a little $100 chip chop poker tournament.
Oh, nice.
Have you ever played in a chip chop?
I've not played in chip chop, no.
I've heard of a chop shop.
It's a chip chop poker tournament, and it's Texas Hold'em.
Yeah.
And it is increments of 15 minutes into ante raises. And they actually, so if you're big blind, you put an ante in and post the big blind.
Yes.
So it's a double big blind essentially.
Yeah.
And
it can knock people out in a hurry.
And so it raises. Well, it goes to stage 11. And when you're in stage 11, it's the final stage. Anybody that's left gets paid out on the percentage of chips that they hold.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So stage 5, 6, I'm hanging in there. We're 3 hours deep. Playing, having a blast into stage 10, get into 11, and I was there with four dudes.
Nice.
And got a really nice payout.
Good for you.
It was awesome. I wasn't the chip leader, so I officially, in chips, I finished third.
Yeah.
In the amount of chips that I had. But if it would have finished out, I don't know. Now, here's what's crazy. Guy sitting right to my left. Now, it started with like 45, 50 people.
So yeah.
Multiple tables. But I sat by him for a minute, and then you know how they switch tables. And then I came and sat by him at the final table. He, in 2013, he won the World Series of Poker Senior Tour.
Really?
In 2013. Ken something. He beat 4,050 other people. It was the most attended senior poker tour in the history of World Series poker to that point. And he told me his whole life story.
Wow.
Took home 630,000 or something like that. It's not the World Series of poker that year was a $13 million payout. The senior tour, because the senior tour is a $1,000 buy-in. But the story was incredible. He was one of the guys that I finished with. So I was like,
I hung with this dude.
Maybe it's my call. Maybe I need to do this on the side.
Oh, this is like when you hit that really good golf shot and you're like, you know what? I can maybe make the tour.
So what I'm asking you is, can you help me buy into the World Series of Poker?
No.
It's still a $10,000 buy-in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You just got done talking about how great BYU treated you. I think you're all right. I think you can cover your own.
Yeah. That does cover the need for adrenaline.
Let's just say, Greg, my guy's coming for a raise.
After what I'm hearing?
Yeah. Hey, look, you just paid a basketball coach $4 million.
I'm up on contract.
Let's go. All right, Danny Ainge addressing the media. This was just a fascinating conversation. You very rarely hear a NBA guy who runs an NBA front office be this transparent and this honest with some really, really honest conversations about his current players, about the landscape of the NBA. We're going to split this up into two different parts. We'll have another one coming up, what, at 2:30, Lloyd? But here's part one of Danny Ainge addressing the media.
Danny, good morning. Hey, a lot of people ask, you know, the direction. And can you maybe help us understand what the, if you're looking for guards, you're looking for wings or all the above in this next phase?
Let me ask you, leave the mic with him for a second. What do you think the direction is, Craig? Just give me your thoughts on it.
Obviously, youth is one. Athleticism, it would be another. Length would be one. Defending would be, I think, another high-level need or want. But I only call games, and you get to select the player.
It was a good answer. You answered your own question. I tell my grandchildren that all the time. You can answer that question.
Anything else?
I mean, we want good players. Yeah. We want a team that is better than the 23rd ranked team in the NBA. So, yeah, all of the above.
What are your thoughts on the draft, both just at the top and the overall depth of it?
Yeah, so it's a unique draft. I think it's harder to find, you know, franchise-altering players in this draft than some drafts. I mean, last year you had, like, the top three were pretty well-defined, even by this time. Maybe not the exact order, but some order, the top three. I think this year it's not. I'm not sure who those are. But I do believe that we'll be able to find some good players in this draft.
We have multiple draft picks and a lot of cap space. What optionality do you have this offseason?
Yeah, lots of good options. Good question. And that's what we're trying to keep is our flexibility and options open. Our plan is not to come to training camp with six kids under 20 years old. That's not a real good option for anybody. I can't say that won't happen and say that's not like option A or option B. Maybe not option C.
Danny, Jay-Z, when we were talking to him, you know, a couple weeks ago, said that...
By the way, Jay-Z misses all of you. And he's doing very good. I talked with him this morning. He's going to do his 2,500 steps today and watch some film, get ready for the draft. So he's doing well.
Good to hear.
But he says hi to all of you. And I miss him as much as you. Too much work.
We were talking to him and you know, he said one of his goals is to trade for a significant player, you know, and as part of this rebuild, if not this summer, then next. What kind of star would you be looking for in such a trade? And how do you see that trade landscape kind of panning out over the course of this particular offseason?
You know, this has been talked about a little bit. I mean, quite a bit, actually, I think. I guess the best way to explain that is, you know, like... In my experience, in Boston, when we were there, and we had Paul Pierce, and Paul was a terrific player, an all-star player, Hall of Fame player. And, you know, our plan was to – we lost 19 games in a row in 2007, and our plan was Kevin Durant. But when the lottery came around, we got knocked back three spots to number five. And our plan changed immediately, and we were able to eventually land Ray Allen and KG, which were never available before that moment in time, but we were there and we were ready. So it took a lot of good fortune. Obviously, it took some bad fortune to go win a championship, because if we'd have drafted KD, which was a top plan, we probably wouldn't have won a championship unless for quite a while as a young player. So, but the bottom line is obviously either of those are very good options. But we didn't have all of those options in front of us. In the NBA, we're trying to find good players, like Jay-Z said. That's our objective. We've been close. We felt like we've been close once in this process that would have changed the dynamic of our team immediately and the direction and would have been much more clear to your question, what kind of players do you need? Then you have the answer. But that hasn't happened. And we do have assets and we do have flexibility. So we don't want to panic. We don't want to go from the 23rd best team and worst team in the NBA or 23rd best team in the NBA to the, 18th best by giving up a bunch of things either. Like, that's not our objective. Our objective is longevity and quality going forward. Good quality. Sorry, I mean good longevity, yeah.
With the number of young players coming into the league now, what age or, when do you guys start tracking these players, these young players coming into the league?
I just got back from the Hoop Summit.
USA, yeah.
Yeah, USA versus the world team, the best international players, all in one setting in Portland. And there were a few future NBA players there that were 17. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we track them even younger than that. We have a grassroots group here in the organization that is at high school games all year long. And we'll spend the entire summer at sanctioned high school games, I would say, and that are at all the AAU programs that are sanctioned by the NBA, which is getting more and more.
Anything up there? Any names you want to throw out there?
No, I should stay away from the names of the 17-year-olds. Yeah.
Curious, you've made the midseason trades with veterans, which has taken, a 500 start, 26-26, and ended 5-25. In your mind, why was that the way to go instead of making those trades earlier at the start of the season and then having a better draft pick later?
I think that's a very good question, and I think a lot of people have that. That's been answered a lot, too, and for some reason there seems to be some confusion on that. But if we just had a bunch of young players in the draft, we just had 6 draft picks, and we had the ability to go trade for a franchise-changing player, we had to change the whole team. Like, we don't want to go get a franchise, but because we have Lauri Markkanen as an example, as one of our good players, and others, we don't feel like we have to make a wholesale change. Like, we can try to find. Like, the last 2 years, I'm not sure, last year, we knew what our team was. And I think they surprised themselves and surprised us, like how good that team was to start the season. Again, I will say this, though, that records are deceiving, I think. I mean, obviously, it always matters a record at the end of the season. But I think that our objective is to, find a player or two, and we're ready to roll. We're ready to go big game hunting. And that hasn't happened in the last 2 years. But if we start all over, like, then we're 3 years possibly or 4 years from being anywhere. We feel like we're closer than that. And we have a chance. I mean, we're going all in this summer to try to figure out what we can do to get better. When I say all in, that doesn't mean that we're going to throw all our chips in and, like, championship or bust. I'm saying our mindset is that we're doing only to try to win. That's our only objective for the first through till we get to July. And if we don't land anything, we don't make any deals, we don't land anything, then our direction could change at that moment and wait till the next time that we can try to build a roster. Does that make sense? Did I answer that? Not really.
So did you want to have a team in place in case you made a move that you could win right then? Is that what you're saying? You want to have the veterans to put around somebody if you acquired somebody, say, in January?
That's the benefit of it. Yeah, like, there's another way to do it and just get rid of all of our good players and have a chester full and then try to build it that way. That's a possibility. But, like I said, with in the Boston scenario I used earlier, going from the beginning of the season and losing – and we're the second worst team in the NBA, and we get the number 5 pick, which is not going to change our franchise at all. Only the number 1 and 2 picks are going to change it, right? So there's no guarantees in this business at all. That's why you can't just have a plan that is like what you're going to get. Like, we didn't have a plan. We didn't have a plan when we traded Paul Pearson and Kevin Garnett and got Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, the next 2 drafts. Like, those things they work out. But you put yourself in position to do that. Does that make sense? I mean, but to answer your question, yeah, like it's we're not as far. We're a big trade away, right? So we explored that all summer, last summer.
Are you interested in extending Lauri Markkanen, or do you want to let that play out?
I would just prefer not to talk about that, but I mean, I think it's pretty clear that Lauri Markkanen is a very good player. We love him. Yeah, we'd like to have him around.
And Will talked about how for the rookies, it was about putting them in uncomfortable situations and watching them grow. I just want to get your take on just how do you think, what was their growth like over the last month and a half, 2 months of the season?
Well, first I will say that, you know, it's not ideal to play your young players with all of your veterans out, because then it puts a lot of undue pressure on them. I mean, so as an example, Keontae. Keontae, I thought, had a very good year. He had some ups and downs. And I kind of liked that he had those ups and downs. I kind of liked the fact that the scouting, the most important person to stop on our entire team the night, many nights the second half of the year, was him. So the best defender was guarding him. The team defensive schemes were to stop him. And so he had to face some of that that he probably wouldn't face if Lowry and Colin and JC were all healthy. So it's not ideal. But there's value in that, too.
Keontae has talked about his relationship with Avery Bradley a little bit. But can you describe the benefit of having Avery Bradley with you in the front office?
Yeah, so Avery is one of my favorites ever. Avery was not my hire, however. I introduced Avery to Will and to Justin and told Avery, like, you got to prove to them that they need you. And but I'm a big fan of him. I loved him in Boston and my time with him. He's a real pro. I think he has a calm demeanor that he can relate to people very well. There's been other young players on the staff that have told me the same things, or of the players that have told me the same thing about Avery. So we're excited to have Avery here, but I think he can be a mentor to some of them. I'm not sure he knows for sure if he wants to get in the world of coaching or the world of front office, but he'll do a little bit of both. But he does have that calm, quiet way of him that I think he can get through to players. And he also has an intensity on the defensive end that I think can hopefully help our guards better next year.
Danny, I wanted to ask you just in terms when you communicate with Will about plans both in the immediate and long-term future, what are those communications like between you and he?
Will and...
Yourself.
So Will and Justin talk every day. And I would say Will and I talk every other day. I mean, when they're on the road. I mean, talk every day when they're here. But, there's constant communication with Will about these questions that you're asking. Like, he doesn't have any doubts of what we're doing. He has questions, and we talk them through. And, like, there's no guarantee that everything we're doing is 100% right. But we feel like we have a very good plan and a good group to accomplish our goals.
If you look back at your two builds in Boston, there were kind of unique pieces that just stuck around the whole way. Kendrick Perkins, Marcus Smart, there were lots of turnover, but they held. What were the characteristics of those players that was why you held them the whole time? And are there any players on this group that you've seen have those characteristics?
Yeah, so, those characteristics are just toughness and, you know, that competitive fire that is their strength. Over their skills, that competitive fire is what attracted me. Like Tony Allen was another one. He didn't stick with us, but that's a whole nother story. But I think that those kind of characteristics. I would say the guy on our team this year that exemplified that the most is Chris Dunn. Chris gave us a defensive presence more than anybody else on the perimeter. And so whether it's a 10th man role or a starter, I don't know the answer to that going forward, but I think that he has a role in the NBA, and we liked what he brought to the table in the same regard.
Kind of piggybacking off of the question about the young guys and their growth this season, and you said it's not ideal for them to be playing not without the veterans. Do you think that maybe their growth is stalled a little bit because they were playing with each other so much, and it's going to be so much different when you actually have the team that's going to go for it that they're going to be playing a different style of basketball? Their roles are going to be completely different?
I think it was better. I mean, like, so especially in Keontae's case, who played most of the year here with the big club, I think he had both. He was able to see both, and he's a smart kid, and he was able to see, wow, that's hard. I'm not sure he understands everything of why it's hard, but like, we've been able to talk about that, and I think that he had enough success to have confidence in his future, and yet enough to learn, and enough bad play that will get him in the gym and put light a fire under him as well. So it's a pretty good combination for him. With Taylor, I thought Taylor pretty much played the same role that he'll play. In the last game, he got more opportunities. They actually ran some offense for him. They did a little bit of that in the G League as well. And he's just young, and he's got more growth to do than Keontae right now. But he's shown signs from, you know, just his defensive length and presence and his character and his desire to become good. And I think that he got a taste. So I don't think it was bad or a waste. I think that he got a taste of the NBA. And I think that he's got a great desire to work really hard this summer and get better.
What do you want to see from the three young guys this summer? And, you know, what are some uncomfortable positions that you guys as an organization can put them in order to kind of expedite growth and development?
Well, we have pretty well, we've organized, you know, plans for them for the whole summer. And I think they're excited about it, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be a lot of work. But they will play in the summer league, assuming they're healthy and still doing well. But, yeah, we plan on them playing in the summer league along with whatever draft picks we have, along with Darius Bazley and Kenny Lofton. You know, the free agents, we're not sure, like Johnny Juzang, but those guys are in our plans, and we'll see what they'll be with us throughout the summer.
So there you go. That's part one of the Danny Ainge conversation. You'll hear part two coming up at 2:30 right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
And I'm excited that he's already announced that those guys are all going to be playing in the summer league, yeah. And that's his full intention.
Yeah.
And
if you're Walker Kessler, you're not overly thrilled with that.
Right.
Third-year guys usually don't play in summer league.
But it's not that I was like, oh, they're probably not. Typically they do. It was just nice that it was confirmed. Like,
yeah.
They're going to, because there's been times where you and I have been like, are they going to, aren't they going to? And he said it right there in locker room cleanout as, yes, our full plan is to have them all participate and continue to get better. I thought that the Danny Ainge podium today was a masterclass in responding to questions. And I thought that our cohorts that were asking the questions, I thought the questions were great.
Yeah, I agree.
One of my favorite sessions I've heard from any manager of the Utah Jazz.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jenny's hanging out with us from Dev Simplify once again. And Jenny, I think there's a lot of people out there that are hearing you talk and represent Dev Simplify, and they're like, right. Yes, this is what I need. And right. They hear the lingo, and they're like clicking. They're like, yes, I have issues. You know, if there's a custom web or a software development, like all these things that they need help with,
right.
And they're like, I need help with scheduling. I need help with all these other things. And it can be an intimidating process. And my IT guy keeps going like, well, it's really not my area of expertise.
Right.
You know, I can help maintain, but I can't develop. This
right.
is where you guys step in.
We do. And, you know, we're, like I said, 13 years in business speaks volumes. We've hit a lot of turning in, you know, we've basically seen about everything. I wouldn't say everything, but 13 years in business, you see a lot what people bump into. And we're definitely not perfect. We've had to evolve as technology has had to evolve. We've had to learn. And we are called Dev Simplify purely because what seems very complicated in connecting systems or building databases or, you know, creating logistics or building a legacy software or updating one, regardless of the job in and of itself, our commitment is to, we've created a system that simplifies it down to where the people we are working with understand it, We step through it together. There's testing and agreements, and we sign off at every step of the way. And because of our processes we have created, we've simplified that process for companies.
So, Scotty, when I went and sat down with Jenny and Joel, three weeks ago, they kind of walked me through the process of what DevSimplify can do. And it's steps.
Right.
It is steps. And, you know, if I'm a business owner and my mind gets drifting and we're going to end up in a 3 or 4 hour meeting, it's like, no, let's bring about. You guys have brought these steps together.
Right.
It's foolproof steps to get to the problem.
Yep.
And then be able to fix the problem.
Right.
And that's what I love about DevSimplify. If you've got a problem with your software, whatever business you're in, any type of software, DevSimplify has the process to get down, narrow it down, and be able to fix it.
Right. And it's so important to go through those steps. And I would say there's, you know, like I said, the discovery meeting, the product goal chart, the low fidelity wireframe, the high fidelity prototyping. And we sign off every step of the way before one line of code is ever written. And that way, when we go to actually develop the project, everybody from the business owner, the CEOs, and the IT teams, we're all on board. We all understand what we're doing, and we've all signed off on it. And then we go to development, which eliminates time wasted, money wasted, frustration, lack of communication, all the things we hear. I can't tell you how many times we've had customers come to us, and we have to rebuild that trust because they're like, we've spent hundreds of hours and thousands of dollars, yeah, and it's just still not working. And we kind of roll it back, understand where they're at, and then, you know, dive in wherever they're at. We'll meet them where they're at. So,
well, right now you're getting an incredible opportunity to really put your skill set and what you guys do to the test, because you are giving away to five people $700 of 5 hours of service. So essentially that's $700 worth of service, if not
right,
more, but 5 hours of free service. And
yep,
you're not locked into a contract,
no,
to get those 5 hours. You're like, we're just going to give it to you because we're so honest and so confident in what we can do for you.
And I'll tell you, in that, when you walk away with a product goal chart and a wireframe or the discovery call, you could take that. It's the beginning of your blueprint. You know, just those steps, consulting with us, getting through, you know, that 5 hours, you're going to come out with clarity no matter what. And I just encourage people who have a project that needs to be done, take the time to walk through and understand what it is you truly, truly need.
DevSimplify.com. You can go check out the website.
Yeah.
You can see right there on their website the specifics, DevSimplify.com, or you can call 801-701-3660. That's 701-3660 or DevSimplify.com. Get on there and take advantage of this complimentary discovery session, because this is an opportunity to get the fix in your software needs.
Right.
And that's what we want to help you do.
Hands on Scotty. It's DevSimplify right here on 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Ryan Smith, Jazz and RSL owner, joining us right here on The Zone.
On the local ownership piece, I've been super fortunate to be invited to be a part of a lot of different ownership groups outside of the state of Utah. I'm interested in Utah sports. I'm not interested in Premier League overseas. I'm not interested in hockey teams outside of Utah. If it's in Utah, that's what I care about. And I care about building the brand and being able to tell a good story and do things that haven't ever been done here in Utah. Our fan base is fanatical, and that's a good thing. We're fortunate to have people who really care in this state about our sports, and I wouldn't trade that. We know what it feels like to win in Utah. It's better than anything and anywhere else, and there's nothing I want more than to be able to let this fan base have that in everything we do.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
You're good, you're bad, the ugly, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, all brought to you by RGS Exteriors and Construction. Obsessed with quality results. If you need to just fix your gutters, or if you need a complete remodel to the outside of your home, they are there for you. Let's get it going. All right, Hans, let's start with the good. Big day for Alyssa Peely. Some had her in the top 10. Some had her around 12, 13. She goes number 8 to the Minnesota Lynx.
Good for her, and good for the WNBA because they now have Caitlin Clark.
Yes,
that is going
to
do a lot of good for them because the WNBA is just not real present. You know, we can sit here and try to act like, oh, well, we all need to do better. We all need to watch more. Well, it's not a very good product. So people aren't watching a good product. Hopefully Caitlin Clark can buoy it up a little bit. Hopefully Alyssa Peely and Angel Reese can buoy it up a little bit. Hopefully Camila Cardoso, who went number 3, can buoy it up a little bit. You know, because these women actually grabbed the country's attention.
Yep.
Not because they were begging for people to watch, but because it was an amazing product.
Yeah.
And people are caught off guard with Caitlin Clark's contract, and they're like, $75,000 a year? Huh? Well, that's crazy. It doesn't compare to the NBA contracts. I would like to show people what my NFL contract was and then what my AFL contract was. They were not the same. Both were on TV. Both had video games. They were drastically different. What it takes is somebody who brings your product front and center. Caitlin Clark, she could do that.
Yeah.
A continued rivalry between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and Cardoso and those women, that could do that. That could start to promote all of us to watch. And when we watch, numbers go up. When you have 14.8 million viewers on your championship games, if that can translate to the WNBA, they should all be like, thank you, Caitlin.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. This is probably going to ruffle some feathers. We might get some phone calls over this. But Bill Burr's got a great – have you heard his WNBA bit?
Yeah.
Where he's like, you know, everybody's like, you know, telling me I'm supposed to watch this. He's like, you watch it. I don't want to watch it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not my responsibility to watch it. I'll watch it when it's good.
Yeah.
I'll watch it when it's entertaining. You go watch it. Why are you not watching it? I'm not going to watch it because I don't find it entertaining. Well, guess what? Caitlin Clark is entertaining.
Yes.
Caitlin Clark is a story. I will watch Caitlin Clark play basketball because she's phenomenal at what she does. That's why I want to watch it. Not because I have a responsibility to watch it, but because it's fun, it's entertaining, it's great basketball. Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Alyssa Peely, that's great basketball to watch. I will watch that.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing is I will always be a champion of women's sports. I've got 3 girls that are all athletes, that 2 of them have now played in college volleyball, and my 3rd should. She's a great athlete, and so I'm all about women's sports. But I'm not going to sit there and try to drive it home of, well, you've got to support it. You've got to go watch it. If it entertains you, that's what we buy tickets to.
Yeah.
That's what Caitlin Clark does. That's what Angel Reese does. That's when the league gets familiar with Alyssa Peely, that's what Alyssa Peely will do. When people watch her play and she's banging down low and throwing elbows and boxing out and pushing towards rebounds, and the way she runs off the pick and roll and gets to the rim, like, she is a spectacular basketball player. And so the product is about to get a boost. And, you know, I've seen a lot of hate sent Caitlin Clark's way of, well, why would the runner-up of the women's championship be on Saturday Night Live? Whoa, hold on. She is literally the greatest women's basketball offensive player in the history of the game.
Yeah.
She's the number one overall draft pick. There's a reason Caitlin Clark was on Saturday Night Live. Her teammates were there to support her. And they got some, you know, end of show FaceTime. Oh, and by the way, one of her teammates did get drafted in the 2nd round. For those of you that remember the Martin girl, Kate Martin.
Yeah.
She got drafted 19th overall or 18th overall. So it was a great draft. And I want it to work.
I do too.
I want the WNBA to work. I want it to be a product that Scotty and I can come on and be like, oh my gosh, did you see Caitlin last night? That was incredible. Oh, did you see Angel stuffed it 3 times? She's starting to figure it out.
Hans and Scotty, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Well, Scotty, we've paid really close attention to this Rashee Rice story, and we mentioned this coming right out of the gates. There's going to be some lawsuits. huge lawsuits coming down for Rasheed Rice. Now, the lawsuits are coming down for a couple of people, but obviously Rasheed Rice being a primary receiver for that Kansas City Chiefs team, leaving the scene of an accident. Lawsuits coming in today claiming that injury suffered resulted in brain damage, multiple scarring, facial disfigurement, all kinds of issues. He fled the scene, did not wait for cops to arrive, and the lawsuit is currently, I believe it was $10 million, is what the, when I saw it this morning, it was $10 million. It might move off of that, but they are seeking for $10 million
and,
in damage.
And they'll probably settle, and he'll be out, you know, $5 to $6 million, which, frankly, I wish it was $20 to $30
million. Well, and there's a part of me that's like, don't settle.
Yeah, I know.
Keep going. The story is over $1 million in damages, $10 million in punitive damages by two victims. So that's just two victims. That's just one car.
I know. Should be more.
And it might be.
Yep.
There might be more that come forward, but I hope they get taken care of.
I do too. All right, there you go. Good, the bad, the ugly. Lloyd, do we have time for the ugly? Your call. All right, let's do it.
And of course, the ugly.
Well, Jim Harbaugh did the smart move, got out of Michigan, did the Pete Carroll thing, get out while the getting's good. They will serve 3 years of NCAA probation, pay a fine, and face recruiting restrictions after the university and five current or former football employees reached an agreement with the NCAA enforcement staff on recruiting violations and coaching activities that were no bueno by non-coaching staff members. Now, again, not the most severe of penalties, but still some penalties that Michigan's going to have to work through. And Jim Harbaugh's like, man, yeah, I still, you know, I did my thing. I'm good. I'm going to move on and let you guys deal with this.
God. Some interesting stuff in there. And, you know, the documents are deep, and it's a long read if you really want to get deep into the restrictions and some of the violations. Some of them probably rightfully so. Some of the recruiting stuff, rightfully so. Some of the coaching activities by non-coaching staff members, that stuff, I'd say it's ticky-tack. But I guess when you have a violation, then people are like, well, let's see the books. Well, who was that on the field? Well, how much involvement did he have? Well, do you not know what his involvement is and isn't? Those things bug me. The recruiting violations, those things need to be recognized and dealt with.
Yeah. I think we need stiffer penalties on this stuff for sure. But
3 years of NCAA probation.
Yeah. All right, Hans and Scotty, Whole World News coming up next. This is 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone.
The NHL is coming to Salt Lake City.
It's about time.
I have been waiting decades.
This is huge news.
As Utah prepares to welcome the National Hockey League.
This city has long deserved a second pro squad.
The Zone will have all the coverage from every angle as we'll be with a new team every step of the way. From every moment of the offseason right up to when the puck hits the ice in the fall.
A new era in Utah sports.
Your home for the best coverage of the NHL in Utah is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It's time to span the globe for the hard-hitting news you care about. Well, not really. But hey, at least we found it interesting. This is Whole World News on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole world.
And Scotty, 97.5, DKSL Sports Zone. And you know, I spent my college years working at 7-Eleven. One thing I can say is I've never was robbed at 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Fortunately, never had to deal with it.
Anything close?
No. You know, a couple shady characters on the overnight shift. But for the most part, it's Logan, Utah. Like,
but nothing, open the till, give me the money.
No. Right. But Whole World News takes us to Memphis, Tennessee, after a man attempted to rob a gas station. His name's Reginald Cook. He's 26 years old. His he's been charged with two counts of aggravated robbery. 2 a.m., he walked into a Shell station and on Elvis Presley Boulevard, there you go, and said, I need the money. And the clerk's like, no. And the guy's like, I've got a gun. And the guy's like, yeah, I don't think you do. So the guy leaves.
He called his bluff.
Called his bluff. Leaves. He's like, you show me a gun, I'll give you the money. But I don't believe, I'm calling that bluff. So the guy actually did not have a weapon, so he left. And 30 minutes later, he comes back, demands money again. And this time he reaches into his clothing and the guy's like, okay, now we got a problem. So the cashier opens the money and then says, and then just kind of waits a little bit, according to the store report, and sees like, is he going to actually bring in the gun? No, he brought out a 5-foot live snake and said, I'm going to wrap this snake around your neck and he's going to choke you out.
That is awesome. Awesome.
If you don't give me this money.
That is.
And the guy's
awesome.
Like, I think I'm a little faster than the snake. Like, I'm not giving you the money. And he's got the little panic button,
That's
hits the button. Police show up.
Threat.
Police got there quick enough that they apprehended the man. They took the 5-foot snake, they put it in animal control. So the man is now separated from his pet 5-foot snake.
And I got him to
This is a sad story.
And no money was taken. No one obviously was injured. Nobody got choked out by the 5-foot snake. And this man is now in custody. So he is now being charged with attempted robbery. Now they're wondering if they're going to charge him with a robbery with a weapon or not, if they could classify the snake as a weapon.
1,000%. Because what if that snake bit his eye and he lost an eye? I mean, it's still the snake still have a mouth to bite with. That's a weapon. And you know, the real victim here is that poor snake.
Yeah, that's who I feel bad about.
I feel terrible for the snake, man. You know, he's used in this whole decision to become
an accessory to crime.
Yes. And now he's sitting in some foreign cage looking around like, where's my heating rock?
He doesn't care.
Where's my weekly
mouse?
Where's my mouse?
Mice?
Yeah,
where's my mice?
Where's my weekly mouse, man? I had no say in this. I didn't want to wrap around his neck and choke him to death.
This seems like he's probably more well taken care of than this dude that is just using him to rob grocery or gas station.
Memphis has got trouble. I think they climbed in the top three in the country in crime right now.
Oh, yeah. Memphis is no bueno there.
And now that they're throwing snakes on people's necks, it's going to be a long time till I visit there again.
Yeah. Hands and Scotty, Dev Simplifies with us. Now, look, we're not telling you to develop an app to rob a gas station, but if you do have a problem and you need some help with your business and you're not quite, you've identified issues, whether it's scheduling, whether it's, you know, whatever the case is, trying to track delivery drivers, those kind of things, that's where you can really step in, work with IT departments or handle it yourself and really take a business to the next level.
Right. And I would say with AI coming on board too, companies that have been holding off updating their legacy software or updating their backend systems or getting those logistics or not updating their websites, their customer journeys, you know, that gap has now became a huge chasm. You know, the tracks are spreading. And so we tell everybody we're talking to, you with AI coming on board and the customer expectation and even people in your own team, that expectation for things to run smoothly with technology and things to be instant. We've been now conditioned with Amazon and our online shopping and all these things. We've been conditioned for those things just to work. And businesses that are keep holding off. I mean, it's time to take action and let's just get you taken care of and bring you up to speed. And I will tell you, over the 13 years of witnessing this, the amount of struggle and the amount of issues that it solves for, if say you have an e-commerce site and it needs to be updated, you have logistics on the back end and your systems need to talk to each other. I mean, we hear all the time, why didn't we do this sooner? You know, it's just such an investment to not only do it, but do it correctly, you know, do it right.
That's the most important thing is I can't imagine the amount of money you've seen wasted in your 13 years.
I mean,
I can't imagine. And the great thing about Dev Simplify is you guys have the steps and the process to maximize the dollar with your time, because your time is valuable, but your customer's dollar is valuable.
Right.
And you guys have the steps to maximize that.
Right. And I would say that our success is our customer's success. period. And that's the greatest thing, is because if we can't solve it for you, then we feel like we have failed at it. So we don't look at it as your product and we're coming in to help. We take full ownership in our process and management and working within your team. Like if you have an IT team that already kind of has a system, we jump in, we meet you where we're at. We still have our processes and checks and balances. And, you know, what we always say is we want to deliver maximum value in the most efficient way we can and deliver the most satisfied customer in the end. You know, that's literally our motto. It's just how we work.
You're going to get 5 free hours of service. No cost. You're not locked into a contract.
No.
You're going to put your service to the test. That's over a $700 value. I can't believe you're just throwing that out all willy-nilly like that.
That's a lot.
4 people. We've already booked one since we've been here. So we have 4 spots left. And like I said, sitting down, and you're not sitting down with a salesperson. There's no contracts. You're literally sitting down with us, and we're going to figure out and discover what it is you need and how we can help you and start building that roadmap for you. And if you walk away after the 5 hours, we want you to walk away with something in your hands that's of value.
That's awesome. I want you to call right now, 801-701-3660. That's 801-701-3660. Put this to the test. If you're dealing with issues with your business and you just want to explore some options, this is a great way to do it. 801-701-3660. It's DevSimplify right here on The Zone.